o'clock every Tuesday morning, the man who sits at our nation's capital, the seat of the executive in Pretoria, Tshwane, Jean-Jacques Cornish with the Africa Report. How are you doing, Jean-Jacques? How is Pretoria looking this morning?
Bonjour. Well, we had a bit of rain. It's been overcast, but my rain gauge still records disappointing figures. We need it badly, but hasn't spoiled the jacarandas, though, and, the city is at its best. I don't know who the poet was that said, October, the moister maand, but I mean, it is very beautiful here.
Well, let's start with not-so-beautiful news coming out of the center of the continent. We're looking at Sudan. The coup there has turned deadly. What's the death toll? And more importantly, what are the implications for regional stability there?
At least 7 dead, Lester, but I fear that number is going to increase. 80 people injured. Abdullah Hamdok, the prime minister, has been locked up, along with his wife, has also been locked up. Abdel Fattah al-Burhan has caused a state of emergency. He's the military leader, and Hamdok was, of course, the civilian leader. The people have taken to the streets and said, this is a full-on coup. We cannot accept it. They've been urged to demonstrate. Well, the international community calls this utterly unacceptable. South Africa itself has expressed its concern officially in a statement. The United Nations Security Council will today take this up. But the people are saying the Sovereign Council, that is the power-sharing body that was set up after the demonstrations, the fall of previous president, Omar al-Bashir, in 2019, the military was supposed to take the power for 21 months and the civilians for 18 months. Now, does this mean they're not going to have the elections in 2023? We wait to see, but thousands of people have taken to the streets. The internet has been shut down, so we can't get all the information or anything like the information we need. The airport has also been closed. So my heart bleeds for it because, that's a country that was emerging from a very tough period. United States has withheld $700 million in aid that was supposed to be going there to help the transition process. So, it was the economic conditions, I think, that inspired the military to resume power. They'd been urged by people calling this the poverty government and that sort of the transitional government, the poverty government. But the international community is simply not going to take it. And, of course, neither will the African Union, who are obliged in terms of their determinations to red card Sudan now. And, Sudan has been the victim of the red card many, many times and for many years that has held back its economic development. So it's very sad.
Disappointing that coups have started rearing again. But there's some good news in Mali, though. That country and the military junta there has promised the United Nations that there will be a post-coup election date somewhere in December.
No, they're going to name that date in December. The post-coup election's due in February next year. The fear is that this was the talk to the United Nations mediation group that is visited there, that the military now wants to extend their time in power. Two-thirds of Mali, remember, remain out of state control, two-thirds in the hands of jihadis. They've had two coups in that country in August 20 and in May 21. And so we really do hope that the Kuwaita, the coup leader at the moment, is going to see sense and realize that they can't hold on. The French, of course, pulling out of Mali, insisting that they're not just simply turning their back on Mali. But the fact is, and we've mentioned this before, French public opinion is less and less inclined to send French troops to fight and die in Mali, fighting the jihadis. And, of course, Emmanuel Macron, who maintains that France is best placed to hold the so-called, or to manage the so-called Africa desk at the United Nations, he has elections coming up. And so he's got to take account of French public opinion.
And now to the north of the continent in Egypt. Egypt's state of emergency won't be extended. This according to President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi.
Do you know that that goes back to 2017, 4.5 years, and it was renewed every 3 months after the bombings of churches and a lot of problems they have? There's still this insurgency in the north of Sinai, but Abd al-Fattah al-Sisi maintains we are now an oasis of stability and security. We're not going to need this state of emergency any longer, and so he's not going to renew it. And of course, that is good news. And you know, they have been very, very tough, and that state of emergency has enabled them to be extraordinarily tough, you know, take action against any opposition and so on. Does this mean that the political space is going to open again in Egypt? I certainly hope so. I have to say, I've been there many times now as an election observer, and to see the deterioration of that political space has been quite depressing, because it is a country, of course, that holds a prominent role in Africa, and playing more of a prominent African role, one wants to see good things happen there.
And then finally, from the north to the south, seems like problems all around. The Swazi opposition and civil society, they're rejecting King Mswati's call for dialogue to end the ongoing protests. The South Africa also being a bit more vocal on what's been happening.
Well, it's about time. South Africa should be more vocal. There's no doubt about that. 37 people is to have died in the protests that began in June. The protests for democracy, and saying that Mswati's absolute rule has to end. Now, he's banned all opposition, and he's banned all, well, he is not an official opposition, but he's banned all protests and so on. Two people among those 37 died this week. Now, the opposition and civil society are saying this man has blood on his hands, and you know, he can't just call for dialogue and expect all the protests to end. The dialogue that he's calling, a body calling in, will take place after the Inkwala ceremony starting this week, and that's a ceremony celebrating the royalty in the kingdom. And for a month at this time, Mswati sort of withdraws from public life and doesn't say or do much. Well, you know, that's not going to be possible if the people are taken to the streets every day. So in our neighboring country, or the country that we completely envelop, things have to happen, and South Africa certainly can't let things simply slide.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, I hope you enjoy the jacarandas. I hope you get a bit more rain in that part
Thank
of the
you.
World. I know you're going to end into your rainy season, but all the best. Jean-Jacques Cornish joins us again next Tuesday here on the Morning Review for the Africa Report.